five things that God gave the man. We dealt with three of them. Number one was what? You remember? A life. And when the point we made that before a young man is married, his emphasis should not be a wife, but a life. That he needs to get born again. He needs God's life. And no life, no wife. All right, we dealt with that yesterday. The life. Then number two was what? The residence. Now that's the house. Today we'll deal with the home. But you can have a house and not have a home. Just because you have an apartment or a room or a house, that doesn't mean you have a home. God literally establishes a home from heaven if you allow Him to do it. Now, you can have your own home, but really the home that God establishes is the one that will make it in this day, and the only one that will make it. That's the only one with any assurance and hope of tomorrow. And then number three was what? A job. That his job was to dress and to keep the trees in the garden. And God wanted him to have a life, have a residence, and to have a job before the Lord gave him a wife. Well, now today I want to deal with that wife. And when I deal with this, I'm going to have to deal also with not only the home from heaven, but heaven in the home. And I remember just preaching to you one time on this subject on someone to love, except I want to deal with some of the depths of it this morning. If you can't see the Lord Jesus in what I'm going to present this morning, you'll be blind. See, Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the last Adam. Now, he's not the second Adam. Don't call him the second Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam. So the first Adam is a type of the last Adam. In the first Adam came sin and death. In the last Adam came life and righteousness. But Adam, before his fall, is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus. Now, by perfect, I don't mean that it has everything that is required as far as type is concerned, but he has for us many truths that relate to the Lord Jesus. And if you understand God's mind, you can see how the Lord Jesus did some of the things that Adam did. And I'll take this story in just a little while, and show you the Lord Jesus. But when I do, I want those of you who are lost to know that Jesus Christ has given everything for you to become His. And being saved is great. If I don't think about it, I'll do all right. And by that, being an exhorter, if I kick up a rabbit, I'll chase it and get off my subject and might not get back. So if I don't think about it, how good it is, I'll go ahead and give you the specifics. But if I chase it after a while, I want you lost folks to know that what Jesus Christ has done for you and what He will do for you and do in you is precious and real. And there's nothing better than the day God comes into your heart. That's the beginning of all that God has for you. But I want you to see what God had on His mind. Now, everything that God gave man was sufficient as far as things were concerned. Here in Genesis chapter 2, there's a description of the Garden of Eden with the four rivers flowing from it. And that just meant that Adam lived in a river resort. Thank you. Verse 12, he had gold. The onyx stone, that deals with jewelry, and I won't go into all that, but the onyx stone was one of those on the ephod and the breastplate of the high priest. But he had everything there was to have as far as things was concerned. But in verse number 18, it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Now let me give you a picture of the Lord Jesus for a moment, then I'll come back to this. There are some folks lead you to believe that Jesus Christ was the afterthought of God when Adam sinned. Jesus was not the afterthought, He was the forethought. According to 1 Peter, that Jesus was a lamb was set aside before the foundation of the world. Now what in the world did God have in His mind before time? God was in his heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I know of a doctor of theology who, when he received his doctorate, he was so proud of himself and his knowledge. And he was driving by this colored church out in the country, and he saw people all around the building. So he thought, well, I've just got my doctorate, and I know so much, I'll stop out there and see those colored folks, see how they're worshiping. Well, down south, they didn't have any air conditioning at that time, and they didn't have any screens on the windows. And so he just went over and put his head in on his hands and watched that colored preacher preach. Boy, that preacher got to preaching fast a while. He said, where was God before the world was? He waited for a response and nobody said anything. He said, where was God before the world was? Finally looked over at this doctor of theology and he said, white man, where was God before the world was? And that preacher said, man, I got my doctorate and can't even answer this colored preacher. He said, white man, where was God before the world was? He said, I don't know. The black man said he was in his glory. That's a pretty good answer, amen? Where was God before the world was? He was in his home. Oh, but it was not good that the Lord Jesus, his Son, the second part of the Godhead, should be alone in his glory. In heaven, God had everything that he ever needed and ever would need. This is the reason he didn't build the world and create the world for anything. What is he going to do with things? Burn them up, isn't he? You say, well, preacher, I got a lot of money, my money. No, the Bible says silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord. But also the scripture says he's going to burn up all this stuff. He didn't build this earth for anything. He already had everything in heaven. But I want to ask you a question. What will he have in heaven in the end that he didn't have in the beginning? What you going to have, Brother Rick? He's going to have somebody. You say, who? Me. Me? You, if you're saved. Hey, why did God do all this? He wants somebody for his son. I've heard these preachers say, God doesn't need you. I want to choke every preacher who says that. That's like my wife saying, you don't need me, or I don't need you. Praise God, I like to be needed. I need her. She needs me. We need each other. God needed someone in heaven, so he made all of this to get that someone. Hey, you lost folks. I got good news for you. He did all this to get you. He said, he doesn't want me. Oh, dear Lord. Look at the cross. You will in a little while. Look at the Son of God. Look at all he did. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. In other words, God said, you need someone, and I'm going to have to make that someone and give her to you. That's the reason you lost folks. He's got you on his mind. Why, some of you are so programmed that you don't think God needs you to do anything. Hey, he needs you to love. That's what he needs. Amen. I'm glad I'm needed in glory. I'm glad we're needed in glory. Not good for the Son of Man to be alone. Not good for the Son of God to be alone. He already had everything in His glory that He needed except somebody to love. Someone for Himself. That's the reason He made this earth. He didn't make you live 70 years or 100 years or 50 years or 40 years. He made you so you could get saved and belong to Him. Amen. Don't tell me I'm not needed. Leave me alone. I'm having myself a time knowing whose I am. Didn't say knowing who I am. I know who I am, but I know whose I am too. And it's whose I am, it excites me more than who I am. But who I am in Him and what He provided for me that made me what I am and belonged to Him is what excites me. And when I see Him look at me and He said, that's what I'm after. That's what I'm coming back after. That's what y'all sang about this morning. Hey, He's coming again. And when the trumpet sounds, He's coming after those who belong to Him, those who are saved. And how did they get saved? How did they belong to Him? Same way this woman belonged to Adam. I'm going to show you how she belonged to Adam and how we belong to Jesus. And in the home, how the wife is a part of the husband. Man alive. That's the reason in the home, the husband is a type of the Lord Jesus, and the wife is a type of the bride. Whew, hallelujah. But I sure do like it knowing that I belong to Him. But it's not good that the man should be alone. Now, I'm just going to make one more statement about that as far as flesh is concerned, as far as this world is concerned. Paul taught that it's better off for you to be single than it is for you to be married. He said, if you have the gift to remain single, be better for you to be as he is. And he said, I say this for you because if you get married, he said, you're going to get distracted. That's what the word is. That's what he said it is. And I can understand that. No, that's not bad. I don't mean anything mean about that. One of the dearest friends I had, Brother Paul Ragland, Brother Percy Ray, they were single. They were single, much more spiritual men than I am. I know that because they didn't get distracted. Sometimes I'm not spiritual. I'm just as fleshly as I can be. Amen. I left a love on her. Amen. Amen. I left to hug her and I left to squeeze her. And I embarrass her too. I know what I do. Amen. Hey, I get distracted. And then kids come along, and you sure enough get distracted. Great guns. So I don't have any trouble what the Scripture says about staying single. If you've got the proper gift, and God can give you the gift to control your lust and your cravings and your desires and channel those toward God, man or woman, is better spiritually because you got more time for God and give yourself more to God than you can after if you're married. But if not, he says it's better for you to be married than to burn with uncontrollable lust and desires. And the Scripture also says for a man not to touch a woman until after they're married. Now that word touch means to ignite. It means to kindle a flame. And the lust that man has, there's nothing wrong with that if he channels it to a wife. When speaking in marriage terms, there are those who say, well, boy, lust is bad. Lust is forced passion and desire is good if it's in the marriage relationship, but it corrupts itself in fornication or adultery. But God intended for it to be channeled one toward another. And he says, don't touch one another to kindle a fire of burning in the lust toward and cause you to commit fornication. He says it's better to marry and avoid that fornication. So I thank the Lord that there are some people who have a proper gift and remain single. And I'm thankful to the Lord that he knew I needed to be married. But he gave me a wife. I am persuaded he gave me that woman over there. I don't have any trouble with that. And she's my better half. I know that. She's prettier than I am. I'd hate to be married to somebody who looked like me. And don't you say amen. It's improper. And don't you say amen, Brother Bob. I know we know this. But the point I want to make is that there was God in eternity past who had everything there was to have except someone for his son and children for the father. So he was to make all of this. He said, I will make a helpmeet for her, for him. And that's what God Almighty does when he saves you. You become a workmanship of God. You're his handiwork. It's what God does when he saves you. You do the believing, but God does the saving. Woo! You say, how does he do it? I'm going to deal with that after a while. I just know how he did it had to come from the Son, and I'm going to deal with that in a moment. You got it, didn't you, Brother Tim? You know it. Hallelujah, brother. Y'all just have to excuse me. It's hard waiting on you folks. And by that, I know the end of this story, and I'm trying to give you the beginning. You wonder why some of us preachers have such a spell. We already know what's in the sermon, and you don't know, and we're waiting on you, and we're expecting you to shout over what you don't know. Boy, if I have something of which I'm guilty, I want the people to shout at the beginning of my sermon. When I got the sermon, I didn't have enough to shout on when I started. And I shouted when I got through, and then when I start giving to them, I want them to shout over the beginning and not wait for the end. I can't help it. It just runs up and down in the beginning because I know the end. And so I try to wait without shouting and acting up and what some folks call misbehaving, but it's just so good I can't help it. No, I take that back. I help it all I can. I guess that's a problem. But I want you to see right at the very beginning that in the master plan of God, the origination came from God. It was what God had on his mind, not what you got on yours. When you begin to think like God thinks, you'll see his master plan included you. But not as a bystander or spectator, but as a being created by him and belonging to his Son. It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet, a completer, a complementer. I'll make someone compatible with you. Say, how can woman be compatible with man if she came from man, according to 1 Corinthians 13? If she came from man and was man, created by God, she's a completer of him, because without her, he doesn't have the rib. She'll be made from the rib that came from the Son, right? Y'all hang on to that. Not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Now listen to what God said. I will make a helpmeet for him. Don't forget what I said just a few minutes ago. You do the believing, but God does the saving. He said, how long does it take him to save you? Faster than I can do that. I use the word, I'm not sure that's a word, but that's how long it takes him to save you. By the time you say, I do, God puts an N-E on the end of it, and then I done. That's how quick it takes. That's how long it takes. You have to look back on it so quick. By the time you say, done. Will, done. You say, well, I grew into it. Don't do it. Just like that. Like it. Not good man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. You say, well, preacher, what's my helpmeet going to look like? You don't have to worry about what she looks like if she comes from God. You're going to love her. You'll be satisfied with her. And Jesus is satisfied with the ones that God quickens. Hey, sinner friend, when God saves you, the Son will be satisfied with you. The Father's going to be satisfied with you. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, the next thing God did, and I got to hurry. Next thing God did, he brought all the animals to Adam so he could name them. Don't you believe these stories about caveman who couldn't talk? And
went, Adam was born talking. Born with wisdom. So how much did he know? He knew enough to name all the animals. And I can't even remember them myself. But there is a statement here I want you to see. Look at verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. See the little word for found? It means to search for. Here's what happened. God is bringing all these animals and fowls to Adam. And Adam's naming every one of them. But all the time he's naming them, he's looking for his. God told him, I'm going to give you one. So he's searching for her, you know. Well, how would you like to have been there when you never seen a woman? Never been one. We know what you ladies look like. He didn't. He knew what a woman was. In fact, hadn't even mentioned the word woman yet. He just helped me. So I can picture him. God, when are you going to bring her? When are you going to bring it? What's it going to look like? Boy, I'm picturing the giraffe coming along. And when the giraffe comes along, he says, hope she doesn't have a neck like that. Boy, look at those legs. I hope she don't have legs like that. And especially when the ostrich came along, you know. Boy, can you picture when this elephant comes along with that snout? He thinks, boy, hope we don't have to snuggle up to that tonight time. Just wasn't found. Isn't it amazing? You young men, young ladies too, before you get married, you always picture what you want and that's what you look for. I mean, you got in your mind what you want, what you expected. And it's amazing. You want a 5'2", eyes of blue and blonde hair, and along comes a 5'6". I quit right there. But instead of it being what you wanted, something happened in your heart toward that person. And you love that individual. And when you love that individual, you find yourself marrying that one. And you got what you needed. And then when you got what you needed, it was really what you wanted. And I won't say that about salvation. When God makes you what he wants you to be, you'll be everything God wants you to be. And you'll find what he gives you is what you needed and really what you wanted. Hallelujah. But Adam couldn't find what he's looking for. Now comes the time that I want to show you Adam and the Lord Jesus in what I call the operation on the man. Now don't you forget this. The woman came from the man. Is that right? That's what the Corinthians letter said. And you, when he saves you, must come from the operation that was performed on Jesus. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He didn't fall asleep on his own. He was put to sleep. No wonder the Bible says that Jesus was smitten of God. And I'll deal with that momentarily. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, I want to deal for a few minutes with four things. Number one, the Son. That's Adam and the Lord Jesus. Number two, the sleep. Number three, the surgery. And number four, the substance that came from his side. Now, I know we get tired in these mornings because it's starting getting heat, but if you see your person sitting next to you start going to sleep, punch him. Now, the reason I said that, this is so important that those of us who are saved are going to have to let these who are unsaved know how good it is that the operation was performed on Adam. See, the truth is, if Adam had not had this surgery, Eve could not have existed. If Jesus had not died upon the cross, you couldn't exist. The woman owed her existence to the man. And you owe your existence to the Son of God. Who was Adam? Well, in the lineage, according to the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 38, in the genealogy of Mary, it said, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Have you ever tied Adam to the phrase son of God? He was a son of God. He was a man. I know physically a man. But God was to provide for Adam, his son, all that was necessary through Adam, through his son, for the woman's existence. So that the woman should marry God's son. Oh my soul, ladies and gentlemen. No wonder the book of Revelation said we're headed to a wedding. But he was the provider of the rib. See, the wife was to be taken from Adam's son, Adam's side. We know that. We read that. But here's a woman that's going to belong to the son, just like we belong to the Lord Jesus. But here's the truth of it. Adam could not provide for her through his living, but through his sleep. What is sleep a symbol of? They that sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. What did Stephen do? He fell asleep. Hey, sleep is a type of death. It's a symbol of death. And an uncrucified Savior is no Savior at all. You say, just believe in Jesus. No! Not just believe in Jesus, but believe He died for your sins. It's through His death, through His cross, through the operation of God on that cross that you can exist, and you can exist without the cross. Hallelujah for the cross where the Son of God died. It was there that He was put to sleep so that the substance could be provided from which I could exist. I can't exist without what He did on the cross in His sleep. Well, I remember just before God saved me, there was a truth came in my heart just as real. And that truth was, if I save you, it'll be an undeserved mercy, totally by grace, and all because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I never appreciated the cross in my life till that instant. But that instant I knew if I was to be saved, it was through faith in His shed blood and what He did as the Son of God dying on the cross for my sins. So the cross was not a place of defeat. It was a place of victory. Because He, as God's Son, was to provide the substance from which I could be created in Christ Jesus. His sleep. I say this to you. If you say you're saved and you don't appreciate the cross, all you've got is a heaven for press or self-preservation and not a deliverance from sin. If all you think heaven is you just saying, I believe in Jesus, and then you live in the world, and you live ungodly, you've got another thing coming. God's bride, God's woman, does not live unfaithful to the Son of God. The Holy Ghost won't let her. She's special. And I see these folks who say, well, I'm saved and have no consciousness of deliverance. They have no consciousness of the cross. Hey, you don't even know the need of the cross till the Holy Ghost shows you that you're a sinner. And when you know you sinned and come to the cross, you know that through the operation of God, there was a provision made sufficient to make you all that God required you to be. That's the reason. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we're going to deal with that. That's the substance and the last part of this. But first you got to see the Son. Not the living Son, but the dying Son. Not the fact that He walked 33 years on this earth and before miracles, signs, and wonders. If He had gone back to heaven without the cross, I couldn't have been saved. It's His cross, ladies and gentlemen. It's His blood. It's His surgery that took place. Now the beauty of that, wasn't anybody there to boss God or tell God how to do it. He could do that job all by Himself. That's the reason why I keep saying, you do the believing, God does the saving. He can save you. He knows how to save you. Amen. But now, the sleep. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat falling to the ground, die, it abides alone. Alone. Did you get that? Alone? Not a good man to be alone. But if it dies, it brings forth. Through His death, He's going to bring forth. Oh, so we got now a sleep, a death. But let's talk about the surgery, all right? And God performed surgery on Adam. He opened up his side. Took the rib out and closed it up. Now that rib, we're going to lay right over here, all right? You do see the rib, don't you? There it is right over there. From where did that rib come? Isn't that right? Didn't it come right there? Did He make her according to her good works? Did He make her according to what was in her? There wasn't any her. There'd be anything in. You understand? And it's nothing in you to make you from. He said, well, if He saves me, He gonna make me. Make you from what? What's in you? Or what came from the Son, He'll put in you. If that ever dawns on you. He said, preacher, how to keep all this straight? Don't have to. He keeps it straight. I'm telling you what He did. I didn't believe it. He didn't say it. I'm just finding it out. And while I'm finding it, I'm having a spell over it. Well, here's a rib over here. But Adam walked around knowing that's where she came from. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? What did a centurion do? What did a centurion do? Say it, Matt. Pierced his side. I have to show you something. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. Just two verses. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry. Chapter 10, verse 19, 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Through the veil, His flesh. What happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? And you remember when the resurrection was to take place? What happened somewhere along in there to the veil of the temple? The veil was rent in two, wasn't it? Sure. A new and living way was provided. The phrase here in Hebrew says a new and living way. That is through His flesh, through His side, through His riven side, through the operation that was on Him. I have a new and living way. Let me tell you briefly what that means. In the Old Testament, with the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on October the 10th. He went in with blood and he sprinkled it seven times on his way to the ark. And see, if he didn't follow the blood and go in with the blood, he died. And that was a blood-stained way, it was called. So he went into the presence of God through the blood of the Lamb. And he sprinkled it, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Well, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, his side was not only split, but the veil was split. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he went in as our high priest with his own blood and made a new and living way. It's called a blood-stained way. He went in with his blood and sprinkled it before God and sprinkled it before the Father. And now there's a living way in which you can enter in and be saved through what he did, not what you do. It means a sacrificial way through his death on the cross, that he literally went into heaven itself before God Almighty with his blood, his surgery that came from his side, the very substance through which you can be created in Christ Jesus. Surgery, the side. Boy, you know, Jesus was portrayed many times in the wilderness. They drank from that rock, and that rock was whom? Christ. What came from the side when the centurion pierced it? Water and blood. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, everything that's needed came from the side of the Lord. The water stands for the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and the blood stands for the blood. And you take the blood and the Holy Ghost and the Word, and He can create you in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, everything that was necessary to save you and make you what you are came from the side of the Lord Jesus when he died upon the cross, and he presented it in a new and living way that you can enter in now, not into the holy place, but into the holy holy through the blood sprinkled way. A new and living way that brings life to you when you enter in. You say, how do you know? That's what happened to me. And so how'd you know where it was? Didn't have to. Holy Ghost and the Word and the blood that was provided for me did it all. Well, I don't know about you, but that'd make a Presbyterian shout. Yeah, even a Baptist, Brother Rob. Glory to God, folks. Surgery. Oh, no wonder he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell not prevail against it. Oh, he wouldn't let Moses smite the rock but once and speak to it from thereafter, because Jesus would be smitten of God upon the cross so that we could become his. But oh, that becomes personal also to me when I see the substance that came from his side. Folks, the songs we sing are more than melodies. When we say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is not phraseology. That's theology. I defy these theologians of this day who are taking the blood out of Christianity and out of the Bible and telling us, you don't need the blood. It's how Jesus lived. Jesus lived perfect, and it qualified him to be the Lamb. But it was not his living perfectly that provided the substance for me. He died upon a cross through the divine surgery. There came the blood and water. And now when you trust him as your personal Savior, the blood washes your sins away. The Spirit of the living God quickens you with the Word of God and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And when you walk away, you say, what can wash away my sins? What has washed away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What made me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wasn't my works, it was his blood. Oh, precious flow, oh, crimson flow from that rock flowed everything that you need, sinner friend, to save you. I'm talking this morning about the operation on the man. I hadn't got to the creation of the woman yet. I'll get to her later, the origination of the woman. But first thing I had to deal with this morning is the operation on the man. And what I'm going to pick up on tomorrow will be the origination of the woman. But while I was getting ready this morning, I was still a little perplexed over the series I'm doing. Not that I don't like it. It's just that I had in my mind I was going to do James. And when a preacher has it in his mind, he's going a certain direction, it's hard for him to get that out of his mind. But while I was studying this morning, boy, it's like the Lord got in that room with me and began to show me that he wanted not only the sinners here, but us saints to have the blessings of God knowing what Jesus Christ did for us. But he wanted those of us who are saved to rejoice and let these sinners know how good it is to belong to the Lord. But the main emphasis was to let them know that the Son has provided everything you'll ever need. You don't have to get at the altar and talk to him about how bad you are. The blood can take care of anything, Brother Jimmy. That's right. It's a blood-stained way. Wherever the blood drops, forgiveness is there. Oh, I don't care how wicked you were, the blood takes care of it. I don't care how bad you are, God has you in mind. Before the foundation of the world, he had you in mind to provide for you and then send a preacher to preach to you and offer you the blood so you could get saved. You don't have to say, how did I get saved? Just do it. I didn't say save yourself. I didn't say you could do the salvation. I'm saying do what? Believe that what the Son did and what the Son provided is yours, and the Holy Ghost and the Word and the blood can do for you what's required by God for you to be His. You know, it's hard for man, though, with his finite mind, to see that God came to suffer so he wouldn't have to. Can I say something to you very carefully? You don't have to suffer for your sins. Just be sorry for them. Godly sorrow works a sorrow for sin, not a declaration that you have to suffer. Jesus' suffering was enough. It was sufficient. That's the reason I can tell you today, it wasn't by works that I got saved. It's not by works any of you going to get saved. It's what came from Calvary. And a crucified Savior who intentionally gave himself. Now listen to this and I'm through. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. Remember what he said? No man taketh it from me. Well, if no man took it from him, why did he give it? Because he had you in mind. He did what he did deliberately, willfully, voluntarily, to get someone for himself. And dear sinner friend, he's not after one thing you've got, not anything. You say, I got to give up everything. No. No. You hadn't got anything. The only thing God ever declared that you had was a soul. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? You die and you leave everything else. You give your soul to him, then you don't have anything else. But great day, you give your soul to him. What do you want? You get him. And if you get him, you get everything he's got. And I'm going to where he is in his home with my home in heaven. And when I get there, nobody can say you don't belong. Because I'm going to be of him. I came from his blood. Yeah. Ephesians said we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Isn't that what he said? When I get to heaven, I won't be a stranger. Oh, why? They'll recognize me. He said, how are they going to recognize you? Because I came from the Son. And they knew the Son long before they knew me. But when it comes my time to go home, the Father's going to say, welcome home. You're the one I wanted. Can you say, preacher? How do you know which one he wants? He wants everyone to hear the truth and get saved. Whosoever will. He wants everybody to hear the truth. Go preach it to everybody, he said. Some won't believe. Some won't trust. But those who do are going to belong to him. And when they get there, they're going to be at their home in heaven. The home from heaven was in the garden. But listen to this, and through. The thief heard Jesus say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Did you know the root word for paradise means garden? In the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. In the Revelation, what do you read in Revelation? There's a tree of life, isn't it? And there's a river flowing out from Revelation. What began in the garden ends in the garden. Except the first one was the home from heaven, and the last one is the home in heaven. That first one, I wasn't there. But that last one, I'm going to be there. And you're going to say, how? Because I was created from the substance that came from the surgery on the Son by God. And the Holy Ghost came with the Word, the water, and then by the blood washed me and created me and originated me. That's the reason I can come here today and say hallelujah for the operation on the Son.